It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study now in the book of Ecclesiastes by looking at chapter 3. Now, there are several objectives in studying this chapter. First of all, I see it's to reflect upon the preacher's observations. This, of course, would be Solomon. To look upon his observations, gleaned from his search for the purpose of life under the sun, that means upon this earth. It's also to understand why God's ways are sometimes inexplicable, and why injustice along with wickedness are allowed to exist. Did you ever wonder that, why, it seems that wickedness abounds? Well, the preacher, Solomon, is looking for the answers to these questions. And also, another objective of this chapter is to be reminded as to what is best for man to do in life under the sun. Well, notice with me, first of all, verses 1 through 15 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. And I believe in these verses we see the incomprehensible purpose of God. And in verses 1 through 8, we see that there's a time for every purpose. In other words, a season and a purpose. Notice verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Notice verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. In other words, be happy. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And number 6. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Everything has a season according to verse 1. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. It's not just a haphazard thing that takes place. These are things that take place because there is a season for them. And this is what Solomon is looking at here. He's telling us that everything that takes place, there is a reason for everything that takes place. And then as we look on, we see in verses 9 through 15 that man is not able to find out God's purpose. And when I say man, I'm talking about the physical person, the person who's looking at the things, trying to figure out the things of God without having the Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us that everybody does not have the Spirit of God. Everybody is not God's children according to the Word of God. You must be born again in order to be a child of God. And the Bible tells us that the moment we're born again, that we have the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of God, He, the Holy Spirit, is guiding us through everything that we need to know as a Christian. But the natural man can't understand as we look through the natural eye. And God, according to verses 9 through 11, has put it in man to seek out what he cannot find. In other words, it's always we're always looking for answers to something that is just not there. Do you ever wonder why we have such an inclination to look at a magician and watch a magician and see the things that a magician would do? And it's not really magic. It's something that's a sleight of hand. But it's something that man looks at and says, I wonder how that's done. Well, God has put it in man to seek out what he cannot find. And as we look at this in verses 9 through 11, let's read those. It says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Here again, the preacher asks what profit there is in one in a man's labor, in one's labor, in verse 9. And then we see that Solomon sees that God has, in verse 10, that God has given man the task with which to be occupied. In other words, we're to stay busy in the rest of chapter 3 and verse 10 there. And then Solomon sees that God has made everything beautiful in its time, verse 11. And he also sees that God has put eternity in man's heart, in verse 11. And yet, no one can find the work that God does from beginning to the end. And this is also in verse 11. Note that man sees only the past. And verse 12 gets into this a little deeper here, but man, left on his own, does not seek God. It is God who is seeking after man. God lets man know that he needs to know God in an intimate way, in other words, by receiving his Son as Savior. But look in verse 12 now. I know that there is no good in them. And that word them would be all things mentioned to this point, up to this verse, verse 12. Or, I believe them could also refer to man. He says, I know there is no good in them. Well, in Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Psalm 14:3, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then in Psalm 53:3, it says, every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. This is speaking of mankind, of course. And then in Psalm 53:1, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And finally in Luke chapter 18, verse 19, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Well, God's trying to show us and through the Word of God that there is none born into this world good, that we're all born sinners, that we need God as our Savior. There is only one who is good, and that is God. And through Him, we know that we have turned away from sin, not on our own. God has turned us away from that sin once we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And I remind you once again, there is no such thing as sinless perfection in this world. The Bible teaches us that as long as we're in this body, that this body is going to do things that is wrong. And until we see Jesus Christ in Titus chapter 3, it tells us that, 1 John chapter 3, it says that no man has seen God at any time, and it teaches the idea here, and it tells us that it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, we're not perfected yet, but when we are finally with the Lord, we are going to be perfect, not in this body, but a new body that Christ is fashioned for us, an incorruptible body that is fashioned like his own. No more sin. This old body is gone. Well, notice here in verses 12 and 13 what the preacher concludes is best for people to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 12 says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Notice the word rejoice. It says rejoice and do good in their lives in verse 12. Eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all their labor, according to this verse in verse 13. You remember, you've heard the saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. Well, that's where people get this from. And in verse 13, it goes on to say, it is the gift of God. And as we look at verse 13 there, we see, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we look back in verse 24, and it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God, verse 25. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Verse 26, for God hath given, God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So rejoice, eat, drink, and enjoy. Why and how? What should we realize? All of this is a gift of God. Without God, we would have none of these things. And then I also see in verses 14 and 15 that the preacher offers God's reason for the way he works. Verse 14 and 15 says this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Well, Solomon knows that what God does, man cannot change, according to verse 14. And also what God does, he does in order that men should reverentially fear in preparation. In other words, before to meet him. In other words, be ready. Fear him before you stand before him. In verse 14, and then God requires an account of what man does in this life, according to verse 15. Well, we understand that everybody's going to appear before God. The Christian will appear before Christ at the judgment throne, when Christ comes back, we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat to give an account as a Christian, not for salvation, but what we've done to receive rewards. And then we understand that the unsaved person will stand before God at the white throne judgment, and Jesus once again is going to be that judge. And if you've not been found written in the book of life, he's going to say to you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And the Bible teaches that people who are not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, where the devil will be there also forever and ever. How do you get written in the book of life? You trust Jesus as your Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Why not trust him today? Ask him to come into your heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that it's through your blood that I can be saved. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. Please save me so I can go to heaven. You have just listened to Lesson 4 of Ecclesiastes. These lessons are taken directly from the Word of God, the Bible. I trust you haven't missed any lessons of our study of Ecclesiastes. Well, God told Solomon to ask for what he wanted, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. God answered Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 12, where he told Solomon, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Let us ask God for wisdom and knowledge as we study his book, the Bible. Join me next time as we study Lesson 5 of Ecclesiastes.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.